We welcome to the program Eric Duhacek, who is over in Sochi, and Al Morganti out in Philadelphia. Had a chance to run into Mr. Morganti. And Eric, I'm going to spend a moment or two here with Mr. Morganti, because it was great to see you, Al. And I want to, before I ask you the question, because I've been saying, wait till Wednesday, as we're going to have some interesting info on John Gaudreau and what his plans may well be following this season. Your ties back to Boston, I guess, can you kind of lay out before we get it right into it, your ties to Boston, Boston College, you watched the Beanpot, the NCAA, your viewings of John, and your familiarity with he, the family, and all of that?
Yeah, he's a South Jersey product. That's right next. It's basically a suburb of Philadelphia. His dad runs a program here, a very good program. He's been prominent for a very long time here. He's remained kind of loyal to the area. I'm from up there in Boston, a BU product, so I'm not too happy he selected D.C. when he did. So, I mean, everybody kind of stays in touch. Obviously, the scouts know. And from what I can gather here from people I've talked to, there's no more that can be done at Boston College. And his brother being there, winning the Beanpot again, which is huge. For those that don't understand it there, the Beanpot there is... I believe it more important than a national championship. It's just, it's a tremendous traditional series, and they won it every year. I mean, it's incredible what BC has done, and I'm told that everybody realizes you just can't get any more out of this experience here. You're going to have to go and sign with whenever it's done here, and it's probably not going to be for a while because BC's good, turn pro with the Flames.
So, obviously, excellent news for Calgary, if in fact that is the case, because there has been some, you know, there's been a worry, and maybe it's just because Calgary's had it happen to them. Tim Erickson was a first-round pick, and they ended up having to trade away his rights because he wasn't going to sign, and now all of a sudden they've drafted late a guy who is the most talked-about kid in American hockey, who is an American product, who is from your, you know, from your neck of the woods. Not inconceivable to think, maybe I go back to school one more year and maybe I'll play for the Devils, or I'll play for the Flyers, or I'll play for the Rangers. When I become a free agent, maybe I can pick my spot. But like you say, not much left for him to do at that level.
Yeah, there isn't. And he's more of a hockey family than an, I mean, not that he wasn't waved the flag and done all those great things for the USA, but it's a hockey family. It's a hockey background. I don't think that there's that tendency to want to go back, go to another team. I think Calgary's a fine landing spot for him. And Lord knows you've had some small players that have done fairly well in the league.
I guess with that in mind, Eric, this is a story we've talked about, and you have kept an eye on. Your thoughts upon hearing that?
Well, it's good news. I mean, I think that was one of the questions that people had when Brian Burke took over, and we started hearing about truculence and size and all of the things that he believes are part of the blueprint and the fabric of a successful NHL organization. And as skilled as Gaudreau is, you know, he doesn't have, you know, that natural truculence that, you know, that Burke likes. But, you know, you have to have skill. And that's the one thing that, you know, that you know, the winning teams in the National Hockey League, and especially teams over here in Sochi, you know, prove that, you know, that there is a place for a small player in today's NHL, because if you're good enough, you can find your way. I mean, I watched the Canadian practice today, and, you know, Martin St. Louis is out there flying, and he's got those, you know, the gray in his beard, and he's forged an unbelievable career, and I think he's exactly the same height as Gaudreau, if I'm not mistaken.
So with that in mind, you've watched the kid, obviously, closer than any of us out here, Al. How does he make the jump? How easy is or difficult is the jump for him? Because, he is not big. He is quite small. How elusive, how shifty, how skilled, and how easy or difficult is this transition going to be?
Well, it's never obviously easy. And at that size, though, there will be a weird dynamic here. There are certain players who sort of have to be, I don't say first line, but a premier line to really shine. You can't expect him. I don't think it's going to do him any good to say, here, you got to earn your stripes anymore. He's got the skill, he's got the talent, and I don't want to say it has to be paved in gold for him, but I think you have to acknowledge his strengths and put him in a place where he would be able to excel immediately, or at least fit in immediately. I don't think it's a case of, oh, let's throw him here. I mean, no, you have to make a commitment that he's going to be one of our skill guys, one of our premier guys. And I think right now you put him on a top NHL line, I think he could fit after, you know, obviously going through training camp, going through a season like that. I think he could fit into a lineup.
Eric, is there a top line in Calgary that's good enough, though? I mean, no, I'm serious.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it depends on what happens in the next little while, too. I mean, you know, if Camilleri and Hudler are still here, you know, it's going to be hard to find a place for him. But if if there are moves made by the NHL trading deadline, potentially you could free up a spot there. And so, I do know what you're saying. I mean, you know, you could argue right now that, you know, some nights line one, some nights line two, some nights line three are your top lines. But I think what Al is saying is you need to give him quality minutes and a guy that can get out of the puck. And if you have at least one guy that has an offensive bent, you know, then it works. I mean, you know, no matter how experienced he is, coming out of college is different than coming out of major junior as a teenager. There is still a process of adapting, and I think that will ultimately take a little bit of time. But you know, I mean, some guys can play in the NHL and don't mind the contact and find a way of eluding the contact, and some guys get overwhelmed by it, and you don't know the answer to that question until they actually come into your lineup and you see for yourself. So that's basically where it stands. I mean, he will have to ultimately prove that he can play in the heavier traffic that he's going to get in the NHL than what you get in U.S. college.
Now, Al, in terms of, because you follow the college route, not so much that this is going to be a comparable, but when's the last time you've seen a player this dominant at that level? Can you think of a name in recent history? And again, not like I say, if it's Paul Kariya, then he's going to be Paul Kariya. But is there any?
Yeah.
When's the last time you've seen someone just, because he's going to win the Hobie Baker, like you say, he was the World Junior top scorer. He's got World Junior gold. He's got the Bean Pot. He's got the national. He's done everything. He's like the Scott Niedermeyer of the NCAA. Have you seen someone at quite this level?
Not like this, because of the unusual thing with the size and the defenseman in Boston obviously can come out, but I don't know that I've seen anything quite like this long, because here's what usually happens. You're that good that early, then you go, and you've got a year maybe in. At BU had the two defensemen, Shattenkirk, and I forget who he played with, was also in Colorado. But this is going through 3 years, which to me, it's usually a year more than you do at that level. That's why I think it's time to jump. But no, this is a case unto itself at that size and that mobility like that.
So, and I know Flames fans have been dying.
Let me interrupt.
Yeah.
Around the NHL, Eric, I know that there's small guys in the game and the game's changed, but how much of a challenge is it still? Because there's not a ton of guys that size, and not everyone's going to be Marty St. Louis. Yeah, it's a great comparison. Pretty special player.
Yeah, no, I agree. And what is it that Theo Fleury said, 100 times in his career when he was with Calgary? You know, a small guy has to prove he can play, and a big guy has to prove he can't play. I think that ethic and mindset has not changed, no matter how the game has evolved. So, but, you know, I mean, I'm not in a position to evaluate him the same way Al is, because I've only seen the guy play a handful of times on television. But to me, first step acceleration is what allows a guy like that to play. And this guy seems to have incredible first step acceleration. So if you can speed away from contact, and if you can find seams, and if you can force defensemen back, you know, those are the three qualities that you need to play. And then it's up to, you know, then it becomes the head, right? And it sounds like he's an extremely motivated guy who's had success at every level, and some guys, you know, continue with that success at the National Hockey League level, and some guys, you know, they plateau at the college level, and you know, you give him an opportunity to play, and then he tells you by the way he produces on the ice whether he's going to take that next step and be a star in the league or just a journeyman or maybe a failed prospect. We won't know until he gets here and you see him in NHL action.
What else can you tell us about, and you may not know, Al, but like you mentioned, you know the family and all of that. What might we not know about John Gaudreau? I mean, we've had him, he's come to Calgary once for a prospect camp. We talked to him on the telephone, and that's been about it. What do you hear as you're closer to it about what he's about?
Well, he's not a guy that's going to seek out a spotlight. Fits in for a star player, and this is key to me. He fits in nicely into any team situation without rocking a ball, without drawing attention. But the key element to me is whenever he's been in a big spot, a spotlight game, college hockey isn't followed as closely, but there are crossroad games. There are games where you have to be a leader. You have to be the man. And invariably, with the one exception last year when they went into the NCAAs, he's been the guy. Without any sort of fanfare, I don't want to say fanfare, the Johnny Hockey thing, but it's not covered like the Heisman Trophy in college football. He's been more than willing to be the guy that you can lean on me to come into this thing. And that's where I think when you look at situations, crunch time and going into an NHL, when you're that small, you're used to having to prove yourself. And he hasn't just done it once. It's time and time and time again that he's proven himself and then not boasted about it, just gone about his business. He fits in very easily.
So I guess the time frame, and again, we're really kind of, we've got the cart way in front of the horse. But if this does come to pass, and when his season is done, the contract negotiations go well, and he signs, is this a team? The Frozen Four, that's in Philadelphia, is it not, Al?
It's in April. Hopefully, they're here April. I think 8th through 10th, so it's late.
Yeah,
it's later into the calendar, and I haven't checked the schedule yet, but unless there's mirrors and stuff, I don't know if the Flames are going to make a real playoff run. I don't know that that's the case of like last year with somebody fitting in with the Rangers or the Bruins or whatever. I don't think that's going to be the case.
Yeah. So obviously the odds on they're going to be a Frozen Four team?
It would be a disappointment if they weren't.
Yeah.
They just won, their fourth consecutive Beanpot there, a whole graduating class. So it would be, and especially after last year, it would be an awful disappointment if they weren't here in Philly in April.
Were you disappointed on Saturday when you got to meet Dean? There's a lot of hype behind him. And
he's a lot smarter than he sounds.
That's right. How was the pizza? Was the pizza all right?
It was very good. I got free pizza. Our station never. We always put people in a luxury box. I don't know why they call it luxury, because we don't provide food. you guys had food and the whole bit. Everybody wore their Flames red. It was an impressive collection. You guys travel well. I got to say, you got some money there.
Yeah, there's something. I don't know where it's coming from. It's not from this room, but it's coming from somewhere. Good to talk to you guys. Eric, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Al, we'll do it again next week.
Don't worry.
Thanks, fellas. There you go. Al Morganti and Eric Duhocek, the East-West Hot Stove. Morganti, close to it, says...
Guaranteed.
Well, on the air and on the record, he's not going to be... Yeah. But, he says, look, there's nothing left for him to do. He's going to, he wanted to play one more year with his brother, and he's going to sign.